Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, Lee, Jim Clyburn, South Carolina congressman, says he had no idea that Joe Biden was in decline. Probably his closest supporter in Congress. The guy who put arguably Joe Biden in the White House, Joe was totally done before that South Carolina primary. Turned things around for him. And the only thing that turned it around was he got Clyburn's endorsement. Clyburn's powerful here, particularly among black voters. No idea. He said, you know what's weird about that? Clyburn has met with Biden many times, talked to him before that endorsement, has been around him, somehow missed it entirely. Yet I, Lee, and you, who have you ever actually personally met Joe Biden?
No,
I haven't either.
Never, and would not have any desire to do so.
No. I've never met him. You've never met him. Somehow we knew he was in decline. And we knew this going back to 2020 somehow. And we don't even spend any time with the guy. And yet Clyburn did not know. Neither did, apparently, the liberal members of the White House press corps. You know how many hours they spend with the president? I mean, they're on the plane.
Oh, yeah.
They're out there in the driveway avoiding illegal immigrant wanted signs, pretending they can't see them, waiting for hours. They spend hours and hours and hours and hours with the president, around the president, filming the president, watching the president interact. And yet last night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, we are supposed to believe that they all missed it, that you could not know. There was no way, nobody who was actually around Joe Biden could have known. Meanwhile, somehow millions of people on X figured it out, and they don't even know Joe Biden. And Lee, remember that we were talking about the basement strategy.
Yes.
Well, the basement strategy was necessary because he had the beginnings of dementia. We were having this conversation talk radio 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way they gaslight their sheeple.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the biggest lie in American politics history, period.
I would be embarrassed to admit I'm one of their sheeple and still believe what they say. And here's the thing, okay, that's going on. I think that this isn't even about us. This is about the left. And my brother came to visit us. He's a committed left winger, very hardcore consumer of news, very informed, as much as you can be taking in liberal media. And he was beside, he brought it up because we always have the agreement. We're not going to talk politics. We never do, right? Kids know, don't talk politics. You're going to be grounded when your uncle comes, right? We all get along. We love each other. He comes to my house and he brings it up because he wants to know, did you know Joe Biden was this far gone? He was shocked by the debate performance. And Lee, he wasn't kidding. He wasn't pretending. He was literally shocked to see that.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that he was shocked.
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, you know, honest take on it, that was not Joe's worst night. Actually, I didn't think he had that bad of a night compared to other stuff. I mean, we watch his brain break all the time.
Yeah.
And for a normal person, it was a little demented. Yeah. But for him, no, not, I mean, not particularly bad. But he hadn't seen him unfiltered. So all these people who are coming out now doing the mea culpa, these liberal journalists know it hurt them with their base that they told this lie. And so they're still, you could tell it still stings and that they feel like their base is maybe blaming them a little. Like, had you told us, oh, I don't know, in January or something when we could have had a primary, that would have been different. They're taking some blame for it. They're not happy about it. Listen to this. I mean, this is the biggest crock. This is Alex Thompson last night speaking for the mainstream media on how they missed Biden's decline, missed it. Again, he is a member of the White House press corps who covered Biden. That means, again, you're on the plane, you're in the media gaggle. You are sitting there for hours listening to this man when he did deign to give interviews.
President Biden's decline and its cover up by the people around him is a reminder that every White House, regardless of party, is capable of deception. But being truth tellers also means telling the truth about ourselves. We, myself included, missed a lot of this story.
You missed it?
No, you hid the story.
Yes.
Everyone who tells you they didn't see it, they're lying. They're lying. They have to be. They have to be lying. And that includes Clyburn. He's lying. He has to be. Clyburn is a very smart man. He's very observant. He's politically astute. He's one of the most successful, I hate to admit this, one of the most successful politicians in South Carolina history. He is not a dumb person. He is not blind. He knew what was going on. He just simply refuses to admit it, in public at least.
And what he knew was that Barack Obama was going to be running that presidency. That's what he knew. And that's why he went, okay, Joe, nobody cares that he's got, you know, pretty serious dementia. And look, even Hunter Biden joked. Do you remember when the text came to light?
Right.
Where he joked that if his dad was at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, at least he would remember where his home was.
Right. Yeah.
And he was joking with Dr. Keith Abelo, who I guess is a friend of his. I mean... And just lest we forget how thick it got out there after this. Remember cheap fakes? See, okay, the internet might have all kinds of videos of Biden's brain breaking and him looking lost, confused, being led around like a little child, and sometimes an Easter bunny.
Yeah.
But
Trump wrote that up again. That was hilarious.
I know. But no. Those are all cheap fakes.
They are cheap fakes video. They are done in bad faith. The right-wing critics of the president have a credibility problem.
What they're going to see is deep fakes, cheap fakes.
The White House is calling cheap fakes, amplified on conservative media. These are highly, highly misleading.
We're hearing about so-called cheap fakes. It's playing out on right-wing media. And all of this is to try to make the case that Biden is slipping, he's confused, and so on.
Cheap fakes. But what it is truly deceitful behavior that is not rooted in truth.
You remember, Tara, who was the person that led one of the last cabinet meetings that Biden had?
It was
his wife, Dr.
Yeah.
Jill. He couldn't even conduct a cabinet meeting.
And we were told this was all very normal. This was all very empowering for the wife to do it. And
can you imagine the outcry if Melania Trump were to conduct a cabinet meeting?
Oh, we'd be told she's too dumb to do it.
Well, that
she speak like five or seven.
This has got to be an indication that Trump is declining mentally, that he's not in control of his faculties anymore, that he can't be trusted with the nuclear weapon, you know, football and all the other usual garbage that Democrats would spew.
Texture rates. Good morning. This is Pablo from Boiling Springs. I think we can all agree the Democrats were either in complete denial, like your brother, or just a massive cover-up. But don't you think we're being a bit hypocritical considering what Mitch McConnell looks and acts like?
But we have been very honest about Mitch McConnell here.
You must be new to this show.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah.
You're going to like it here. If you want to hear about Mitch McConnell, oh boy, will you get an earful.
Yeah, no kidding.
Starting with the dementia and then rolling downhill from there.
May want to spend some time with the archived editions of the Tara Show on the website.
You'll learn things even the left-wing media won't tell you about Mitch McConnell.
I think
he's
producer
their enabler.
Tim has probably got them properly labeled. You should be able to find them with a quick search.
Yes. Yeah, no, I am probably the only one in our media. I mean, maybe there's someone else, I don't know, who has made the argument that aside from the hookers, Mitch McConnell is as bad as Hunter Biden because he has the same deal. So yes, Lee, thank you. Pablo, you are going to very much enjoy the archived Tara Show. I suggest you start on it right away. Never doubt me, a famous man once said. Here's my favorite talk radio show host. Anyway, it's a long time ago. Never doubt me, he said. Right. 95% of the time. Well, I'm not as right as he is. So I'm probably more like 94, 93. But don't doubt me. What have I been telling you for weeks? And I knew it implicitly. You could just tell by looking at the stock market and how much came off the top, but most importantly, how much did not during the tariff scare. And folks, everything about these tariffs, right now tariffs are sitting, Trump's approval on tariffs sitting at 33%, according to Fox News poll. Their poll's very biased to the left, so he's probably 38 to 40, closer to, but definitely not majority support for the tariffs. Why? This is the media has done their best to terrify people about them. Let me ask you a question. Based on what? Based on what? No, think. Is there a fact that you can observe for yourself about the tariffs that is damaging? If so, could you text it to me? It's a trick question. There isn't one. It's all fear-mongering. It's all theory about what's coming. And maybe it'll be bad. Look, I don't know. There's no historical precedent for what Trump's doing. It could go badly. That's a possibility. I don't know. I'm willing to honestly tell you. I'm bullish on it, but can I predict it's going to go great? No, and I won't do it. None of them know either. But what have they been doing? What have I been telling you day after day after day? That the whole temper tantrum going on right now with the mainstream media, with the institutional investors, i.e. hedge funds, the shiny shoes, the billionaires, the rich people, pulling their money out of the stock market, is to try to scare mom and pop 401k into pulling the money out, to try to scare you into pulling your daughter's babysitting money out, to try to scare the little people. For two things, two reasons. Number one, profit. Drive it down, pound it down. They got the money to wait it out, come back in, buy those undervalued stocks that they've pounded down through fear. They were going to try to steal from you, in other words, in a legal way. But they were trying to get you to doubt Trump, panic, and pull your money out. And you know how you could tell that? It would stop. If there was true panic, not fake panic induced around the boardroom, what can we do to stop Trump? I don't know. Main Street's going to profit again instead of us. I don't know. You got any ideas, Ron? No, I don't, Don. Hey, what should we do? I don't know. Let's go out there. Let's send all our people for another round of commentary on CNBC and try to scare mom and pop into pulling their little pittance out of the stock market. But what did I tell you? It is institutional Wall Street investors, the ones who donate at an 80% rate to Democrats. When I started in this business, donations from Wall Street went roughly half and half, Democrat and Republican. Now it's 80% Democrat. All Democrats are calling them. Can you dump your stock? That'll help. Yeah, we got to get these mom and pops terrified. Plus, you dump your stock, you drive the market down. When they dump theirs, then you're just going to buy it as soon as they sell it and it'll go right back up. We'll try to terrify them. What did I tell you? I told you. This is institutional investors dumping stock and Main Street is holding on to stock. And the institutional investors were not dumping stock because they're legitimately terrified one iota. They're not dumping stock because Trump's trade deals and tariffs are really terrible. They're not even dumping stock because Trump has not been the best communicator here. I actually think that's a strategy. It's worked brilliantly with China. That's why half their factories have shut down. Nobody can place an order. They don't know what he'll do tomorrow. Tariffs might go up. Tariffs might go down. They might go all around. Hell, he may change his mind twice before lunch. Nobody knows. And so they've had to idle the factories. That's exactly how you put an embargo on China. In fact, it's a more powerful weapon, the uncertainty, than the tariffs themselves. But Scott Bessent just announced what I have been telling you and knew implicitly. The market did not dip because mom and pop are struggling or afraid or because mom and pop have seen the horrible outcomes of these tariffs. Listen.
The Vanguard, one of the largest money management firms in America, said that over the past 100 days, 97% of Americans haven't done a trade. And in fact, individual investors have held tight while institutional investors have panicked. So individual investors trust investors trust President Trump.
Megan.
Wow. 97% of individual investors haven't done a trade. You know what that tells you? This is a hoax. It's like COVID. Oh my God, the economy's going to crash. The end will come. And they cooked that up in the boardroom. They did. Who can we send out who will really terrify viewers if we put him on CNBC to lie there? Why don't you send him out again? Maybe they'll listen this time. Please. Texter writes, Tara, are you that hard up for show content? Biden is gone. He is no longer relevant. What is the point to rant and rave about his mental decline? Everybody knows it. Common knowledge tells us something we don't. No. I'm not telling you I don't. I know you know he was in mental decline. No, my whole point here is how they lie and then what they do after they lie. That's what I set up at the beginning of this program. I said, what is amazing about the way that they lie? And I want you to always see the end because we spend so much time on the beginning and we kind of gloss over the end. When they lie, they will lie and lie and lie and lie. When the lie is no longer useful and they've gotten away with it, they always take a victory lap and admit what they did. Why? To mock those of us who are red-pilled. Look, don't even bother posting that we're lying again. You know we're lying. We know you know we're lying. But it doesn't matter. We always win. Don't bother to post about it. Don't bother to tell your family about it. We're just going to win anyway. They'll mock you in for no reason. This is the final stage. There's always a phase four where they admit they lied and they admit it in a way that you could tell they know they lied. What is my point here? Well, we have people like Pablo coming in all the time who still think some of this is real. We do. I want to remind you how they lie. You know why I want to remind you? Because I lived through the first 2 months of COVID. And boy, that was hard. No, wait, stop the music. I'm not done. No. I'm just digging in on this one. You go and drop that on the text line. I'm going to take you on about it. The first 2 months of COVID were some of the hardest of my life. My brother and sister stopped talking to me because I refused to side with the Fauci folks because I would have business owners on this show insist they stay open. People were accusing me of murder. In this audience, not liberals. You, like half of you. People are dying, Terry. They're dying. How do you not care? And I was saying it's fake. It's fake. Yeah, COVID's real, but the death deaths, it's all fake. Please believe me. And I was right. Absolutely nailed it. Now, I knew because Fauci published that New England Journal of Medicine study saying, yeah, it'll look bad for a while, but in the end, it won't be any worse than a severe flu season. We have one of those every 10 years. Nailed it. Got it right. Thank you. And never forget, no, because I've lived through this with you people. Even you, even this audience, 17 intelligence agencies say, and I can remember saying it's not true. And how many of you, kooky, this is crazy. This is a conspiracy show. In fact, our competition across town called us conspiracy theorists. They shut that station down. Because we crushed them. Because we got it right. I got it right. So when this happens again and half this audience falls for it, because that has happened. And oh my God, folks, those 2 months after COVID, oh my gosh, 2-3 really went on for 6 total, but honestly, really even three. I got called a murderer by you people, like half the time. I was terrified for that ratings book to come out. My husband and I talked about it. What has been our strategy for all these years? We get it right. We may take a little bit of beat down in the beginning, but we get it right long term. We got to be right, stick to that. Don't spin like a compass, and I didn't. Boy, did I take a beat down from you. You people. Half of you. The other half have sense. Now, do I take the beat down now that I used to from you guys when this stuff breaks? No. Because now you're learning. You're more red pill. You know how they lie. But I will never, ever, 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 ever miss an opportunity to show you the end phase of the lie. When it all falls apart and the liars come into the light and they clearly did it. And that is why I've spent that much time on this today. By the way, my sister and I are talking again, but we didn't speak for over a year. I had a banner off my Facebook page. She's one of us. just telling people, don't listen. This is going to kill people. How could you tell businesses to stay open? Well, I mean, folks, that was my own family. And it wasn't just me. It was you. All your families were the same way. And that is why I'm talking about their lives, about Biden's dementia. I wonder if this is true. Scott Bessent warning China this morning. He appeared with Caroline Levitt to give an update on the trade situation. Scott Bessent warns China, says that China could lose 10 million jobs. I've seen some very large numbers. If these numbers stay on, the Chinese could lose 10 million jobs very quickly. Even if there is a drop in the tariffs, they could lose 5 million jobs. We are the deficit country. The onus will be on them to take off these tariffs. They're unsustainable for that. Yeah, in other words, what he's saying is they're not going to make it if they don't sell in the American economy. And there's some evidence of that, actually. Because very quietly, there are a bunch of things that they exempted from the reciprocal tariffs that they put on us. Why? Because they can't buy them anywhere else. Semiconductors, medical equipment, batteries and battery equipment, a whole bunch of stuff they don't make in China. So that's kind of interesting. What's going on there? You know what? I think 10 million jobs is low. I think it's a lot higher. I totally believe Zero Hedge that half those factories are idle. I don't see how they could be moving. I mean, and what it is, they're saying that a lot of their U.S. orders have just dried up. Their people have just went, bam, stop. We don't know what the tariff's going to be. We can't make any plans. We're moving our supply chains. That's how you isolate China. Okay, really interesting thing going on with Russia. A lot of people, contacting me. What about Pakistan and India? What about? I'm not that worried about that. I mean, yeah, I'm worried about it. They're both nuclear armed, but I'm still more worried about nuclear war coming out of Russia. And from the Russia-Ukraine conflict, let me tell you why. A couple of patterns are emerging that are becoming very obvious. Every time Vladimir Putin says, okay, I'll come to the table for peace. First time he said it was in the days after Trump won. In fact, it was absolutely remarkable. Not only did he reach out the olive branch to Trump, he basically also threw in, oh, hey, you know, your currency that I've been trying to destroy. Hey, you know what? We love dollars. We'd like to trade in them. And I went, you would? Wow, that'd solve a lot of our problems. Or it'd help shore up the dollar anyway from us printing. And what happened? They began launching long-range missiles into Russia, proper, NATO. Why? They were terrified the war would end. Things were going too well. I mean, Putin and Trump practically negotiated an end to the war in about a week. And then a pattern began to emerge. Whenever Putin comes to the peace table, talks about peace or even freezing his front lines, he gets the heck pummeled out of him by NATO, which is, you know, their front is Ukraine. But those poor people aren't really at war with Russia. It's us. As the New York Times admitted, so take it up with them. So did Marco Rubio. So both sides now agree it's a proxy war. We're running it out of a war room in Germany. Our commanders, our military commanders, CIA, State Department, and France and Germany. So watch what's happened, because this is fascinating. You'll learn something from this. I did. Putin says last week, okay, you know what? I'll freeze my lines so we can negotiate. In other words, I'm not going to aggress any further into Ukraine. We're done. We're finished. Well, that was a big deal. What did they do? Almost immediately, the bombing started. Well, by Ukraine and NATO, which is just NATO. Ukraine doesn't do anything. They just send the little actor out with his little silly beige outfit. They started bombing Russia, and I mean really bombing Russia. They hit civilian areas of Crimea. They hit military bases. And massively, I'm talking, they shot down over 100 drones. And I don't mean little drones. I mean like the big Reapers, the Predators. Massive bombing campaign. And then they assassinated a Russian general. They caught the Ukrainian who did it, by the way. Why did they do all of that? Well, because Putin said he wanted peace and they want war. War is profitable. Peace is not. And Putin's gotten to where he can't say he wants peace, because even if he does want peace, if he says it, then the bombing will start again. Civilians will die. So instead, he says something like, I'll freeze my lines. Well, a curious thing happened. And then, as you noticed, Trump went after him, was wailing on him and saying, hey, you know, you got to stop bombing. You got to stop. And Putin, I mean, is like, I can't. You guys won't let up on me. Well, did you see this in the conservative treehouse? Because I'm pretty sure Putin did. What do they keep getting hit by? Reaper drones. Right? Very deadly. Bombed by them. What were we sending to Ukraine? Headline, citizen journalist captures image of U.S. fighter jets, Reaper drones being loaded onto Ukrainian cargo planes. Destination Poland. Is that who's bombing Putin? Can you see why he doesn't take negotiations with Trump very seriously? Because there's only two possibilities here. We know those bombs got hit. So that's what our media does. They tell you, oh my gosh, Putin's gone on a bombing run. Why is he hitting Kyiv? Well, because he just had the heck bombed out of him. Civilian and military areas. That's what happens every time he says he wants peace. NATO goes in there on a bombing run. What does that say to Putin? One of two things. Either Trump is not a straight shooter and Trump is bombing him, which I don't believe, or he doesn't have control over NATO. That's probably it. Here's another question. And there's a reason. If you've ever read the blog, Conservative Treehouse, it's excellent. Some really, really good investigative reporting. I don't always agree with it. But it's solid, solid Trump supporters. Absolutely solid Trump supporters. Why would you run this? Citizen journalist captures image of U.S. fighter jets, Reaper drones being loaded onto Ukrainian cargo planes. By the way, that's all over X right now. Or was over the weekend. Why would you run that? Because Conservative Treehouse doesn't think Trump knows he's bombing Russia. I bet he doesn't. It's alarming, he writes, how President Trump is calling for ceasefire talks while the U.S. government is simultaneously providing Ukraine with either fighter jets or M9 Reaper drones or both to fly against Russia. What was loaded onto there is either one of the two. They look the same when they're under tarp. Make sense? What does this say? What does this say to you if you're Putin? It's actually kind of fascinating. Not surprising. It says three things. Number one, Trump doesn't have control over NATO. So Trump can't really negotiate peace. I mean, he can. He can get an agreement on paper all he wants. He can't enforce it. Not surprised. Not surprised by that at all. Number two, what else does it say? It does not appear Trump has complete control over our government. There are elements of it still fighting what could easily spin at any moment into World War III in Russia with Russia. A nuclear-armed country, that is incredibly dangerous. We should not be in our planes from our government should not be inside that country bombing. We are inviting, we are practically begging for something terrible to happen, some sort of retaliation that could spin out of control very, very quickly, more out of control than maybe even Trump could handle. The pressure on him would be great to retaliate, and I don't want to think where that goes. That is why we are in a stalemate right now. And look, folks, I don't mean this is a criticism of Trump. I warned you. I warned you for months and months and months. It would be very, very difficult for Trump to take control of our government decisively. It might take his own whole presidency, and he might not ever be able to do it. But that's why Putin right now is saying what he's saying. It's actually smart. He's saying, okay, we'll have a ceasefire. It's going to be midnight May 7th through May 11th. Why would you pre-schedule a peacefire? Because if he says a ceasefire, it is a peacefire. Why would you pre-schedule that? Because if he says, okay, it's going to be the next 2 days, then NATO's going to fly and you're going to get dozens of dead Russians and you're going to get blown up Russian bases and they're going to be flying over civilian areas, bombing like they do, and people are going to get killed. So you say, hey, okay, peace, but not now. No, don't bomb. Because our media doesn't ever tell us when NATO does that. So we can plan for the peace and see what happens. It'll be interesting. But there's a lot here. Again, I wonder if Trump knows he's sending what is bombing Russia. I wonder what the back door on that sounds like. Scott Bessent appearing with Caroline Leavitt in the press room. White House press briefing, explaining Trump's art of the deal on trade. President Trump creates what I would call, he said, strategic uncertainty in the negotiations. Yes, that's, folks, I warned this at the beginning of all of this. You cannot, and if you notice, I don't do much of this. You cannot take any one thing Trump is saying on any given day in a negotiation, whether it's foreign policy, tariffs, whatever, very seriously. In fact, again, I don't cover every pivot. There's no point. He doesn't mean it half the time anyway. A lot of folks who think he's serious, he'll throw things out. That's just how he negotiates. You can't take it seriously until you see at least something on paper with him. Anyway, Besson saying the same thing. President Trump creates what I would call strategic uncertainty in the negotiations. He is more concerned about getting the best possible trade deals for the American people. Decades of unfair trading. We are going to unwind those and make them fair. He said, we've created a process. The aperture of uncertainty will be narrowing. There will be certainty. Yeah, that's what he does. I mean, like Greenland. He'll throw out one thing, another thing, another thing, another contradictory thing, then contradict himself again. That's how he negotiates. You never know where he's coming from. It's the most powerful tool in his toolbox. And now, it's not a lot of fun when, you know, whatever bills you're paying might be affected by whatever Trump is doing or not doing, but still. It's how he negotiates, and I've warned you about that. And that's why I don't, you know, there's some people who get caught up. Well, yesterday he said, and you know, what is he saying today? It's contrary. I know that it's just, he's negotiating. He doesn't actually mean it. And it is making a mess of China. Here's the Daily Pulse, great thing on this. Here, I played it for you last week when I actually explained that this, the whole thing's jammed up. Can't play it for you. Darn it. Really wish I could play it. Here we go. All right, there you go. Yes, they were explaining this is a tactic and it's killing China.
But the problem for Chinese manufacturers is not just the tariffs, but the uncertainty of timing and sudden changes to policy. They say no one is willing to make a big move on production or shipments until the trade landscape becomes more predictable. This means most Chinese factories are frozen. Trump's tariff actions are widely criticized by the media as erratic or poorly planned, but what they don't understand is that the uncertainty is the real leverage, not the tariffs. What seems like a spur-of-the-moment decision or a sudden capitulation on Trump's part can be highly effective at throwing foreign governments and corporations off balance. Globalism requires a perpetual status quo. Change of any kind is like holy water to a vampire. Chinese shipments are actually on standby and orders are frozen. Nothing is moving.
And there you go. By the way, Besson predicting maybe 10 million jobs lost in China. I think that's low. I think it's low. All right. Well, Mike's up next. Stick around.